Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. It's so good to have you back here on the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And I want to start by, well, we're going to go right into the science, really, file. Because while you were slacking off this week, the leaders of the Western socialist democracies were working harder than ever. They were busy and working hard to save the world. And I'm happy to report to you today that they have done it. Yes, I have a report hot off the presses from CNN. A climate agreement has been reached in Paris. I know we all waited with bated breath to see if we would even wake up this morning. Perhaps the seas would have risen enough to have drowned you and your family and your friends. But nope, the climate agreement was reached on Friday. The world has been saved. Barry Obama came out, I believe it was Friday evening, gave a press conference, announced that this is the moment when the seas cease rising and the Earth's fever is somewhat... Well, I'll just read you the report. According to CNN, there were a number of goals in Paris. Now, you may ask, why did they have this climate change conference in Paris? Seeing as they had just had a massive terrorist attack, why would you want to gather all the leaders of the Western socialist democracies in one place where Al-Qaeda and ISIS could get them all with one grenade or at least one small thermonuclear weapon? Well, the thing is, the champagne, the cocaine, and the hookers had already been paid for. It had all been lined up and scheduled. The brothels were prepared. The clubs had already pre-recorded their dance music, their trance dance music. And so the show had to go on, and indeed it did. And according to CNN, the accord achieved one major goal. I said one major goal, but what do you want? This is government work, please. The accord achieved one major goal. It limits average global warming to 2 degrees Celsius. I said it limits average global warming to 2 degrees Celsius. At which point, all rational thinking people paused for a moment and said, okay, how did they do that? And that's not for you or I to know. Ladies and gentlemen, it will happen because it has been decreed. And just like monarchs, tetrarchs, and tyrants throughout history, the leaders of the Western socialist democracies are of the opinion that if they decree it, it is, and it shall not change. So global warming has been halted to a maximum of 2 degrees Celsius over, well, they don't give an actual time period. But they have limited global warming, and we can all thank someone for that. I'm not sure who we thank. I'm not sure what we did, but there you have it. It was very big news and a real shot in the arm for the Paris economy, especially there in the red light district. Thank you very much to all of you people who were working while we were merely grinding it out, working every day, trying to support our families, trying to put food on the table, trying to keep a roof over our head. Slacking, as I said. But don't worry. The powers that be are looking out for you. And so you don't have to worry at least about the sea levels for the next... go back to this report. Well, they don't give a time period. I guess it's until the next global climate conference they're going to limit warming to 2 degrees. I thought they had settled on not calling it warming since the data was so inconvenient. I thought they were just going to call it climate change. And I know there's climate change happening. The first part of this week, I could have laid out for a suntan. And last night, I was shoveling 6 inches of snow. So there is climate change happening, and I'm concerned about it. Well, I was concerned, but no longer. Thanks to our fearless leaders in Paris. Now, we'll move from there into reason number 1013 in no particular order to get or keep your children out of the government schools. This is actually an update on a story that we reported on a few weeks ago. You'll remember that in Canyon City, Colorado, there was a massive scandal amongst the students trading dirty pictures of one another on their cell phones, using secret apps and all this. And you remember there was some controversy as the district attorney down there was not sure what to do because, well, possession of such pictures of minor people, well, it's a felony in the state of Colorado. Well, the district attorney has figured out what he is going to do. The students involved, more than 100, by the way, will not face criminal charges at all. The DA said the investigation failed to show that any adults were involved. None of the images appear to have been posted on the internet, as far as he can tell, and he's an expert. And he says there was no evidence of coercion or bullying, so we're just going to let the whole thing slide. No, he's not exactly going to let the whole thing slide. Let's see, they have a plan. The school district is going to offer education to students about sexting. Both students and their parents are invited to attend classes with teachers and administrators so they can all get together and discuss dirty pictures. That's the plan going forward. The DA said, this is a district attorney, well, we don't care about it, some lawyer. He says the decision not to prosecute doesn't condone what the students did. And he is going to send a warning letter to all of the 106 students involved. He's going to give them a firm warning, and then they're going to set up classes where they can all sit around and talk about dirty pictures. Let's see here. Teens, parents, and legal experts, according to the story here from the Associated Press, teens, parents, and legal experts say law enforcement needs to adapt to the reality that sexting is increasingly common. It's the new form of flirting. This is how kids flirt. This is how the kids in the government schools flirt these days. They exchange pornographic images of one another. Experts say the behavior is best addressed by parents talking to their children about healthy relationships and boundaries. Interesting. Healthy relationships and boundaries, at which point thinking and logical people said healthy relationships and boundaries based on what? Based on the fact that you just admitted that sexting is the new form of flirting? There's no bottom to that. How far does this go? Anyway, I predicted that the DA would not charge any of these kids and that the laws across the nation on a wholesale level, pornography laws are going to be loosened so that all the kids in the government schools are not thrown in prison along with their parents and whoever else is involved. There were rumblings this week in the local Colorado media about other schools at which it's possible this could be going on. And that students and parents and teachers are all looking a little more closely to see, could this possibly be going on in other schools? Shocking. It may be. And so this is no doubt a prelude to the weakening of pornography laws across the country to keep kids out of jail, I suppose. And I'm not for kids going to jail. I'm certainly not for kids going to jail because I'm against jail. But how are the administrators, the teachers, and the hapless moronic parents who are products of the government schools themselves, how are they supposed to deal with this problem? So I predicted there would be no charges. I predict that the problem will only get worse. And I predict that if you send your kids to the government schools, you won't be able to listen to this show more than once or twice because you'll get extremely uncomfortable. But sometimes that is the job of the adult, is to make the ignorant children uncomfortable. so that they can come to their senses. Now, from the government schools, we'll go to the war file, where the Barry Ho administration is rapidly and successfully gutting, ruining, and destroying the military that might be able to defend us against our enemies, were it not for the rampant sexual perversion going on in the military. Got a story from the Navy Times. Sailors aboard the USS Wyoming, which is a submarine, male sailors acted as lookouts, while friends filmed female shipmates undressing. I don't want to go. They took pictures secretly of female midshipmen in the shower, in the changing room. This went on for about a year aboard this submarine. Commanders and investigators were shocked that male sailors, typically young men between the ages of 18 and 35, are sharing videos of dozens of women whom they served alongside every day. It was a shock. They were outraged. It was unbelievable. The scandal, according to the Navy Times, has dismayed the sub force and some of the trailblazing officers who made history as the first women submariners. One officer says she can't believe that Navy women had been betrayed in this way. Just shocking. She says it was 180 degrees out from what my experience was. I couldn't really even fathom that one of our guys would do that to me. This is one of the trailblazers. What a naive fool. You pack men and young, single, or newly married, newly minted products of the government schools, pack them together, boys and girls, on a submarine, and then everybody's shocked that this is what the culture aboard the sub devolves to. I'm not shocked. I would have predicted this, and my guess is, unless they're too afraid to do so, if investigators, commanders, and top naval and Department of Defense officials decide to look more closely, they would be shocked at what they would find has been going. And it's just sad and a bit creepy and disgusting. So I'm going to get off the sex pervert thing for a little while because I feel like I need a shower. Let's go instead back to the government schools for reason number 1012. Dunlap, Indiana, Concord High School will not, I said will not, be permitted to organize, rehearse, or present in any way any type of nativity scene during its 2015 Christmas spectacular. The ruling has come down from a federal judge, and he has said it will not, cannot, shall not happen by my order. A complaint was filed against the high school students because they were going to do a nativity scene. Those of you who are uninitiated in the audience, a nativity scene involves a depiction of the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. And it's relatively popular in Christmas celebrations around the country, or at least it has been. No, there is no depiction of the prophet Muhammad, either positive or negative. So we don't have to worry about the Muslims on this one. On this one, it's the humanist fanatics we have to worry about. And we all know that the humanists in America are responsible for far more death, murder, bloodshed, and mayhem than the Islamists could ever hope to be on our own soil. Case in point, the Freedom From Religion Foundation and the American Civil Liberties Union joined together to fight the depiction of the birth of Jesus Christ as put on by high school students at Concord High, Dunlap, Indiana. The story comes to us from the Elkhart Truth newspaper, if there is still such a thing. I mean newspapers, not the truth. There is still truth. The Elkhart Truth being an example of it. They're telling us the truth right here. The Freedom From Religion Foundation and the ACLU filed a complaint, of course, as you can well imagine.
ACLU.
The ACLU. Yes. Are you surprised? No, you're not surprised, the ACLU. Now, the shows were scheduled to begin December 11th, but the judge has filed an injunction saying you shall not, you will not, until the judge can make a final decision in the case. He has ruled that the nativity scene must be removed. And today is December 13th. So as far as we can tell, the weak-spined evangelical Christian milquetoast wimps, parents, and students in Dunlap, Indiana, have indeed bowed to the judicial supremacy of a federal U.S. District Court judge. I don't care what your name is. God knows your name, you chump. So I had hoped that when I came to air today, I would have the opportunity to tell you how the parents and the students stood up to the judge and said, okay, you can order us not to put on the nativity scene, but here it is. Come and get it. Or send the police. We're going to all go to jail. But no, this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. When the judges speak, the Christians cower, the politicians shudder, the sheriffs wet themselves, and the judicial supremacists reign supreme here in the proctocracy against which I stand. Back, it's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney, joined in studio, as always, by my extreme audio engineer. And I just had to remove, yes, go ahead, let it rip. That's what I want to give him. Go! Yes. Yeah, that's what they're going to get. That's what they're going to get, you know. And they can have it one of two ways. Because the blood of the Redeemer is available too, should you repent of your incredible evil wickedness. You foul, vile, evil. Speaking of that, now I just had to remove my sweatshirt here inside the Weekly Worldview studios.
I'm out of here.
She's out of here. It's too hot. No. Now, I topped off the broadcast here by letting you people know that the whole climate change thing had been settled. And I told you last night I was shoveling 6 inches of snow. Today, it's so hot in the studio because the sun is shining so brightly, I've had to remove my sweatshirt. And I'm here in a T-shirt because I'm hot. I think there's been some climate change just in the last 24 hours. Are you people sure that this thing has been taken care of? I'm beginning to have my doubts. Did I say that the blood of the Redeemer is available should they repent? Good. I like to get that in. Because otherwise, you're going to get it. You're going to get it one way or another, you foul, vile, scum, lawyer, filth. I will give his name. Let me find his name. Federal judge. What's his name? He banned the nativity scene. U.S. District Court Judge John DeGuilio, John with no H. John DiGuilio. Yeah. Make a note of that for Judgment Day. I'm gonna look this bastard up. Now, speaking of that, I want to go to Elkin, North Carolina. A tragic story. 16-month-old Mason Roten died in a hit-and-run car accident earlier this year. And there was a park where he played alongside a government school. And so the alumni of Elkin High School, Elkin, North Carolina, erected a bench in honor of young Mason Roten, because he died back in September. The bench, which the alumni of the high school made, sat near the playground at Elkin Municipal Park, where Mason and his brother used to play. I apologize, not near a government school, near a government park, as if we needed such things. So they put in a bench at the park. You've seen these type of benches, right? Well, the bench has been removed by the Elkin town manager, John Holcomb, another guy I'm looking up on Judgment Day. He claims permission was never granted to install the bench. The problem was that the bench included some Bible verses and a cross, as if not to be insulting enough with the Bible verses, which can be a trigger for many heathens. They had a cross, which can be a trigger for vampires and other such godless people. So there was a cross and some Bible verses, and so the bench was removed. Now the town manager says, no, it's not. It wasn't the Bible verses or the cross, no. They just never got permission. Well, all the alumnus say they did get permission. The alumni, I apologize. Yes, the alumni. They said they did get permission, and this was all well and good until the town council or whoever the proctocracy is there saw that they put scripture and a cross, and then all of a sudden the bench is gone. The bench does have religious symbols and scripture in its design. So here's the problem to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. If you continue to bow to these foul, vile, filthy, heathen scum, eventually you will be trampled. Case in point here in Elkin, North Carolina, where they've removed the bench. No doubt that if the Christians would be good enough to scrub the symbol, that's the cross, if they would scrub the cross and the scriptures off, they could put the bench there. And my prediction is that the people of Elkin, North Carolina, who put the bench up, that they'll scrub it clean. And they'll cower and bow and be trampled. And you know what it leads to, all of you ignorant fools who've decided to sacrifice your children in slow motion on a daily basis to the beast running the government and the government schools. Here's what you've got in store for yourselves when your kiddos hit, junior high school. Let's go to reason number 1016 to get or keep your children out of the pagan, heathen, foul, vile, disgusting government schools. Let's see here. There's a new study in Texas. The Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is commenting upon it. The report reveals that teacher-student sex is rampant in the state of Texas. And so the Lieutenant Governor has done what lawyers do, what proctors do. He has appointed a committee to study the issue, and he has ordered the committee to prepare policy recommendations to put before the legislature. Now, Lieutenant Governor Dan, could I reiterate the problem is sex between teachers and students? That's what's going on. You've got teachers seducing and molesting students. I think the time for a committee might be past, Lieutenant Dan. And this is Texas, ladies and gentlemen, believed by some to be the last free country on earth. I no longer believe it. Experts, according to Breitbart, where I pulled this story down, experts largely blame social media for the rampant teacher-student sex. And it's up 50, 70, 80% in some districts. I'll post this up. You people can link to it if you have the stomach for it. I circled the word experts and I put a question mark on there. Who's the expert? How can you be an expert on a problem like teachers molesting students and then you blame social media? Please. Social media may be an avenue by which teachers are seducing and then molesting students, but it's certainly not, it's not to blame. That would be foolish. But that's what the experts say. And I'm sure these experts will be advising the committee and helping to prepare the policy recommendations for Lieutenant Dan and the state legislature when they come back. I have more from the, let's see, I've got the U.S. Department of Education Chief of Staff, Terry. He blames social media and secret electronic text messaging for the explosion of classroom sexual predators that has created, in his words, quote, an open gateway for inappropriate behavior. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have the a former U.S. Department of Education chief of staff who calls teachers raping students inappropriate. That, to me, is a problem. That could stand on its own as reason number 1017. If that position hadn't already been taken, we're going to get to that in a moment. It's more than inappropriate, sir. Please, it's criminal, is what it is. He says that including improper relationships with student out of sight of parent. He says that the social media and the secret apps are allowing improper relationships to be developed by teachers with students out of sight of the parents. Now, for all of you hapless people who matriculated in the government schools, of which I am one, I was educated in the government schools, okay? I admit it. I want to stand up in front of a room, light a cigarette, and tell you people how I'm in recovery, okay? But the whole idea of the government schools is to get the children out of sight of the parents. That's the whole idea. And now you're shocked when horrible, terrible things happen and your children are deflowered and corrupted and their spirit and soul is destroyed? When you dropped your kid off that morning and drove off to your job, mom, well, you put your child out of sight. And you are to be rebuked, and I'm here to do it, and I'm sorry if it makes you uncomfortable, but you're going to be a lot less comfortable when your kid comes home with a venereal disease, or she's pregnant, or she's had an abortion, or she runs off with the band director. That's going to be really, really uncomfortable. So I'm okay with making you a little uncomfortable right now, mom and dad, and it's primarily dads, by the way. It's a problem with fathers more so than with mom. But before I know we're coming up on another break, I've got to get to reason number 1017 from WDRB in Louisville, Kentucky, out at Henry County High School. A video has gone viral depicting a cafeteria worker telling students that if they didn't have enough money to pay for the lunches that they had already eaten for weeks and weeks and months, if they didn't have enough money, they should put their food back and they should not eat. So the cafeteria attendant knows that many of these children, they just come in and they eat and they don't pay. And so she said, look, according to the kids in the video, she took food away from some of them and said, if you're not going to pay for the food, you can't eat it. And the children went ballistic. And the video's gone viral, and everyone's standing up and saying, how can you deny these poor children's food? It's just terrible. That evil cafeteria worker. Now, WDRB reports that it is unclear if any students were actually denied food. Well, let me make it clear here. No students were denied food, okay? I guarantee you that. But an administrator at the school says, well, there is an issue with unpaid student lunches. We've sent home letters, emails. We've tried making phone calls, but the parents, well, they won't pay the bill. And this moron in the government schools, he's not sure why or how can I solve this problem? There's obviously a problem here. Well, out at Henry County High School, half of the students in the district receive free or reduced lunch, reduced price lunch, that should be, I suppose. And elementary students in the district all receive free breakfast and free lunch. So here's the problem. Is if you send your kid to the government school, they'll be raised as a socialist. And they will not understand that they can't have free food. And when you try to teach them the right thing, they'll look at you like you're some kind of insane Neanderthal. When you read from the Bible, where the Apostle Paul says, if a man should not work, neither shall he eat, your kids are probably going to shoot a video of you, send it viral, and the whole socialist world produced by the public schools is going to come crashing down on you.
You're unbelievable. You're so unbelievable. You're unbelievable.
Yes, yes, no, the wah-wah pedal was not banned in the 90s. They got away with it early on, but after that, you never heard. The wah-wah pedal has not been heard from again, I believe, since that record. I think that was the high watermark for the wah-wah pedal, and it was sad to see it go. I don't know that we've heard a Hammond B3 either since the 90s. The 90s, devastating decade. Massive cultural destruction occurred. The wah-wah pedal and the Hammond B3 being the least of them, but very noticeable, right? I mean, we noticed it, right? All right, let's go now to the bad religion file, because I believe the root of all of our problems is bad religion, as you well know, if you've listened to the broadcast. And the Pope, well, is it the Pope? No. It's the Vatican Council. It has issued, what do they issue there? Well, they've issued a declaration. They do all kinds of stuff, encyclicals and canonicals and rectoricals. They do a lot of stuff there at in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. This is a declaration stating that the text says the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. How Christian belief in the universal salvific significance of Jesus Christ can be combined in a coherent way with the equally clear statement of faith in the never-revoked covenant of God with Israel. Okay. And then they go on to say that Christians should not try to convert Jews to Christianity, which is odd because Jesus Christ and all of his followers for their whole lives spent the whole time trying to convert Jews to following Jesus Christ. But, yeah, it was a long time ago. These guys, I mean, a lot of these guys have law degrees, I'm sure, up there in the Vatican. The text states that Christ is also the Redeemer of the Jews in addition to the Gentiles. Now, you can't argue with that. Christ is the Redeemer of the whole world. But they go on to say it's not a matter of missionary efforts to convert the Jews, but rather the expectation that the Lord will bring about the hour when we will all be united. Okay. Kind of veering off there into universal reconciliation. Okay, and that's the Catholic Church, for crying out loud, considered to be a conservative Christian organization. I mean, they might as well become Unitarian, huh? Put a skirt on the Pope, right? Give him a rainbow lapel ribbon. And give him a bong and have him lead the service that way. You might as well be a Unitarian, Pope. All peoples will call on God with one voice and serve him shoulder to shoulder. Now, I don't know where they get this, okay? I don't know where they get this, and I don't understand it myself. This is bad religion. This is, again, the death throes of organized, structured, large-scale Christianity. It's pretty much over with. If your church attracts more than, say, 150 people, you should probably be suspicious about what's being preached. That's just my personal opinion. I've been involved in solid biblical Christianity on and off for about 40 years. Off for about a decade or so. But I've been on and in and involved since about 20 years, solid. And then from the time I was little until I was about, 12 or 13, I knew it all. I shouldn't say I knew it all. I was aware of biblical Christianity. And the churches that I went to preached the gospel uncompromising, and they were never able to attract a very large crowd. So, I mean, if you have goblets made of gold and giant monasteries, what do they have in the Catholic Church? Basilicas and the big buildings and massive amounts of real estate. I mean, you should just be suspicious, okay? And for you evangelicals, you're further gone than the Catholics, in my opinion. You're a bunch of weak-kneed, milquetoast, jello-spined. It's a wonder that you haven't turned your churches into mosques already. And if you don't get your act together, that's what's coming your way, my friends. Now, I am happy here with with one element of the Vatican statement here. But wait a second. I need to get back to this. Expectation that the Lord will bring about the hour when we will all be united. Now, that's from the Bible, that the Jews and the Christians will be united. That's from the New Testament, as a matter of fact. It's going to happen when all the Jews realize that their Savior is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And they're going to join him. They're not going to join us, the Christians. They're going to join him. And in order for them to know who he is, it's really up to his people to tell them about him. And so I disagree with the Vatican's, their declaration here. Yeah. So I disagree with them. And I feel way more qualified to speak on the matter than anyone in the Vatican. But they do say that the state of Israel has every right to exist, and so I agree with that. So we'll give them some credit where credit is due. But on the big issue of, basically condemning people to ignorance and quite possibly going to hell for all of eternity, we disagree with them on that. That's the bigger issue. So that would go in the bad Pope file if he was involved. But I don't think he was involved. I think this was a bunch of his flunkies. The hangers-on at the Vatican there. They pay them to study things and write things and be ignorant, but appear as intellectual as possible. And they make a pretty good living. All right, now let's go from the long war against God now being waged from the Vatican, believe it or not. At least at times. I don't want to condemn all my Catholic brothers and sisters. I know I love and have worked with many of you out there, and I know many of you love Jesus Christ and probably disagree with all of this. But for crying out loud, I mean, when the leadership of your church acts like this, wouldn't you give it a second thought about being a Catholic for Christ? If my pastor came out and said we don't need to evangelize the Jews, I would leave the church. That's all. Now, let's go to the war file, because the war rages on. The Daily Mirror over in the United Kingdom had some pretty dramatic pictures this week of the ISIS marching their weapons, large weapons, including tanks, armored personnel carriers, artillery, heavy machine guns. Yeah. All of the weapons were manufactured in Britain, France, Russia, and the United States, who provided most of the weapons being used by ISIS. The pictures were dramatic. I'll link to the story. You can look. If you're a military veteran or a person who's interested in military things, you'll recognize a lot of these weapons as the weapons our guys carry. And this, to me, is evidence that if we would just get in there and start fighting these people, we could wipe them out in a matter of weeks. I mean, it's not like they can resupply parts for their A1 Abrams tank. They can't get parts. They stole the weapons from the Iraqi army. Or Barry might have sold them some out of Benghazi. Let's not he might have Barack Obama, and who was the Barack Obama and Chris Stevens may have sold them some of the weapons. Yeah, you know, indirectly through other Islamists, moderates out of Benghazi. But it's not like they can get parts to resupply. So why don't we start not just bombing, but landing troops in Raqqa? Or maybe we go with Putin's. Maybe we just nuke Raqqa. Just flatten it and start from there. I don't know. But we could wipe these guys out so, I mean, not utterly. It would be a battle. Don't get me wrong. But please. An ex-Guantanamo Bay from the Long War Journal. Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula has released a video featuring their new leader, Ibrahim Qosi. In July 2010, he pled guilty to conspiracy before an American military commission. He was held at Guantanamo Bay. But because he agreed to cooperate with prosecutors, they let him go. They transferred him to his home country of Sudan in 2012, and he joined Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula in 2014 and has rocketed now up to the top. Qosi's appearance, according to the Long War Journal, marks the first time he has starred in a jihadist propaganda film since he left Guantanamo. His personal relationship with Osama bin Laden and the time he spent at Guantanamo make him an especially high-profile spokesman. Thank you very much to all of you in the proctocracy who are losing this war for us. Now let's go to Berlin. Germany, according to the Associated Press, I'm sorry, Reuters, according to Reuters, Germany has urged Saudi Arabia to stop supporting religious radicals. Okay, that's just... and stop funding the militant mosques throughout the world, like they've been doing for, like, 75 years. The Germans just finally noticed. They're like, hey, wait a second. You Saudis, you need to cut this out. The head of the Social Democrats, who share power with Angela Merkel in the government, says we need Saudi Arabia to solve the regional conflicts. Unquote. Why he said that, how can Saudi Arabia solve the regional conflicts when Saudi Arabia is the fountainhead of Wahhabism, the fountainhead of the Salafist movement? If we're going to drop a nuclear weapon, we should start with Riyadh. I mean, clear out all of our people. But the one thing you don't have to worry about in nuking any city in Saudi Arabia is you won't hit a church or a synagogue, not a single one. Saudi Arabia, according to the Reuters reporter, follows the ultra-conservative Wahhabi form of Islam. And some outsiders see it as a cause of the international jihadist threat. Some outsiders, I think what that should say is all reasonable people see it as the cause of the international jihadist threat. Let's see. The Saudi Arabia embassy in Berlin says, of course, the kingdom, we are interested in countering the radicalization of young people. We are part of the anti-Islamic state coalition and fighting side by side against terror. What are you people talking about? We have cracked down on jihadists at home. You know, when they try to cut our heads off, we kill them. I mean, the ones that we do not export to you. Let's see this. Intelligence. German intelligence. The German intelligence agency says the number of Salafists has risen to about 8,000. Up from about 5,000 just a few years ago. I don't know if that's in Germany or in Saudi Arabia. Probably in Germany. The head of the Central Council of Muslims in Germany says, quote, military action is not the way to stop the insurgency. We have sown the seeds of war, and it has resulted in terror and refugees. See, the problem is with you people. The problem is not with the Islamists. The problem is that you have made the Islamist angry. You have insulted the Wahhabist. You have insulted the Salafist, and therefore you need to work from a policy standpoint. The military option is not the way to solve the problem. says the, what is this fellow? The head of the Central Council of Muslims in Germany. So what we need to realize, and what the, you know, there was a time in the United States when Muslims were not allowed to come here. A lot of time, early on. I mean, it's only recently that we have decided to let these people in. Because everyone has seen for 1,400 years what Islam does to every nation that allows it to flower and then to fester. And so what we all need to realize is that, yes, the problem is not just the Salafists and the Wahhabists. The problem is Muhammad. The problem is Islam. And we need an active military strategy to take care of the immediate threat. And we need a more long-term evangelical strategy in order to establish the superiority of the true Christian religion, preaching forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation over the wicked and condemning and oppressive teachings of the evil prophet Muhammad. That's why everybody wants a piece of the action. We're back. Yes, there was a time, even in my lifetime, when prominent social leaders, political leaders, religious leaders were willing to stand up and say that Islam is a dangerous pagan religion. And while we can love the people who are currently following Muhammad, the ones who don't want to kill us, love them, we should love them enough to tell them the truth, that what they're following is a dangerous lie. Just like the lie I followed when I walked away from religion and I became just a hedonistic heathen. First, I didn't want to chop people's heads off, but I probably could have been led into that. Because anytime you walk away from the fear and admonition of the living God, you risk becoming a danger to yourself and others around you. And I'm going to give you a case in point of why it's time we need to stand up and say Islam is the problem. The Prophet Muhammad is evil. It's a cult. It's a death cult. It's a pagan religion. And because it is so aggressively combative to the social order, it simply cannot be tolerated in the United States of America. Not in a free country. Not in a free country. Case in point, from Fox 4 in Beaumont, Texas, Dr. Nidal Asayed is an imam. He was the religious director at the Islamic Society of the Triplex in Beaumont, Texas. But he was forced to resign by the board of Islamic clerics there after making comments in which he agreed that the United States should temporarily stop accepting any new Muslim immigrants into the country. The next day, he was forced to resign. Here's what he said. American Muslims are not doing their job in the country, so we need to stop taking new ones until we can fix the existing situation. He said there's a problem with some American Muslims seeing a conflict between following their religious beliefs and their patriotism to the U.S. He says, this is according to an imam who was forced to resign. He says over 100 imams in the Houston area have been fired or forced to leave their jobs because they did not get along with the political agenda of their board members. So here's the thing. I saw this guy in an interview on TV. He was being interviewed via Skype, and this guy was literally looking over his shoulder, and this guy was scared, genuinely scared. He was asked by the interviewer, have you received death threats? He said, oh, yes. He said, are you afraid for your life? He said, of course, yes, as he looked over his shoulder. And this guy's genuinely scared. So you ask yourself, why are there no moderate Muslims standing up? And there are a few, I know. I've heard from the few that do have the courage to stand. But the reason that there is no mass call in the Muslim community for reform is because it can get you fired. It can get you killed. That's why. They're genuinely scared. This is an aggressive, confrontational, supremacist cult. And it cannot be tolerated in the United States. We would not tolerate any cult that advocated the murder of innocent people and the overthrow of the government. And if you read the Quran, that's what it advocates as the ultimate expression of their religion. And I know, I'm a radical. I'm so radical that I agree with Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and George Washington that we can't have Muslims here. I don't want their men, I don't want their women, I don't want their children. The killer in San Bernardino was born in America. He came to us as a little child. Barry said, you're afraid of women and children? Well, yes, Barry, I am. If they're raised and if they're educated in an aggressive supremacist death cult, yes, I'm afraid of them. So the reason the moderates can't stand up is because they'll be killed. Because the majority of Muslims agree, if they believe their book, and I'm sure there's a lot of them that are like you evangelicals. They just go to church because that's what they were born into. They don't know much. Those are the ones I can tolerate long enough to speak with and try to evangelize. But if you follow the book, get out. I'm sorry. We cannot have you here. If you're going to kill people who stand up and call for a reform against your religion because it calls for the killing of people, need I say more? And you know what? Only you moronic, stupid worshipers of democracy and equality are foolish enough to commit suicide, upholding your misguided ideas about equality and democracy and how everybody's equal and how all cultures are equal. And if you want to commit suicide that way, well, you go right ahead. Why don't you move to Saudi Arabia and try to build a church? Or move to Saudi Arabia and try to build a Unitarian temple. How about that? If you want to commit suicide that way, fine. But my kids live here. My grandkids will live here. My loved ones live here and my friends. And I don't want you committing us to your suicide. All right. Russia says that the United States is helping Turkey cover up the fact that they're buying the oil. The oil from ISIS. Russia's defense ministry has accused the United States of turning a blind eye to the trafficking of oil into Turkey from Syrian areas under Islamic State control. The Russians say, well, when U.S. officials say they don't see how terrorist oil is smuggled into Turkey, this smells badly. This smells very badly. It seems to us like Well, it smells badly. Now, he went on to say, this seems like a theater of the absurd. You can watch the videos taken by the United States drones that show the trucks driving the oil from Syria into Turkey. So this smells badly, say the Russians. Now, the Americans, they say that, well, they've just dismissed Moscow's charge because, well, they're allowed to do that, I suppose. But we do have video. If you care to look, we do have video of convoys of trucks driving north out of Syria, tanker trucks, by the way, that we did not bomb. for months and months and months and months until the Russians started bombing. But a special envoy, coordinator for international energy affairs here in America, says, well, the amount of oil, well, the amount smuggled into Turkey from Syria, well, it's of no significance from a volume perspective. I mean, both the volume of oil and the volume of revenue are relatively insignificant. Don't even bother to look at it. Which would lead anyone who's using their head to wonder, perhaps someone is getting a cut of that oil. That is why you don't want us to look at it. Perhaps. The Americans say, well, I don't believe that there's any significant smuggling between ISIL and Turkey of any significance. That was the second statement in the same article saying that it's just not. Instead, U.S. officials tell reporters that the oil, listen to this. Listen to how outrageous these people are and how stupid they think we are and how stupid they think the Russians are. U.S. officials told reporters that the oil pumped in eastern Syria is refined in ad hoc desert pits equipped with crude stills. Stills, I said, and sold in the war zone in the black market within Syria and neighboring Iraq amongst the ISIS, amongst themselves, the terrorists. Now, they estimate revenue from oil to ISIS is $50 million a month, and they're doing that in stills? Is that right? And pits. They've got pits full of oil, and they've got a still at the $50 million a month, and they're only trading it amongst themselves. Maybe a few drops are going to Turkey. Don't look that way. Don't look at that. Unbelievable. I tell you, we're going to be shocked when we find out how many of the world's atrocities and wars are all based on simple thievery. Simple thievery. I've got so much more stuff here. What am I going to do? I can't. I know. We're out of time. I understand. Let me see if I can just... Let me see if... There's too much. There's too much. Let's see. The House... An investigation by the House Armed Services Committee says has concluded that the Obama administration broke the law in swapping five Taliban for Army Sergeant Private Bull Bergdahl. Yeah, they say he broke the law requiring the administration to give members of Congress 30 days advance notice of any detainee transfers from Guantanamo Bay. Didn't we notice this at the time? This is my problem with the Republican Party. They issue reports, they make accusations that laws have been broken, and then I don't know what they do. Where do they go? They go off to fundraisers or to find restaurants or golf outings. I mean, what are you Republicans doing if they're breaking the law? How come nobody is charged? I know. It's because Barack Obama, from the day he took office, we were all led to believe, or we were basically all brainwashed to believe, that this guy can get away with and do whatever he wants. And then John Boehner worked for the last 7 years to make sure we all understood that Barack Obama could never be accused of a crime, he could not be called a liar in public, and no charges could ever be brought against anyone, in him or his cabinet or anyone or anything at all to do with anything having to do with anything at all to do with that. And apparently we believe it. Democrats on the committee, according to The Hill, Democrats on the committee agree that the administration broke the law. They agree. They say, yeah, he broke the law. What are you going to do? At which point the Republicans go supine and ask for a tea time. Something. What is it? Now, there's a crisis at Chipotle. Do we want to pick on Chipotle anymore? I just want to say, I've never paid so much money for a relatively stale tortilla filled with rice and beans as I did at Chipotle, the one and only time I ate there voluntarily. And now they're in huge problems. But you know what? I'm not going to beat up on Chipotle because, well, mostly just because I'm out of time. Otherwise, I would, yeah, but we're going to leave Chipotle alone. Hey, if you people like that stuff, you know, more power to you. You want to pay $8 for a tortilla full of beans, rice, and what's that vegetable I hate, that spice I hate? No, not oregano. I like oregano. What's the one I hate? Yeah, rice, beans, and cilantro for $6. Anyway, the only thing that ever kept Chipotle out of trouble was the fact that they used virtually no meat. Apparently they started using meat, now they got problems. Let's close with scarification. It's the latest trend. Scarification involves removing a layer of skin and flesh with a scalpel in the shape of your desired design. Similar to a tattoo, except you remove skin and flesh and then fill the design with ink. And then the scar becomes a tattoo. This is the latest thing the kiddos are up to. The kids who are exchanging, well, this is what they do. In between exchanging pornographic images of each other, the father of scarification is a Swiss-born, London-based artist who also specializes in tongue splitting, I said, and earlobe reconstruction for people who have previously had ear tunnels. Surely the end of Western civilization is at hand. I hope you are all prepared. I want to thank you for joining us this week. I want to thank my friends at KGOV, Denver Bible Church, Theology Online, and American Rights of Life. Of course, my other brother, Darrell, who makes it all happen, here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. And should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.